Let's go to 1 Kings 3:5. Lord, you're going to have to help me because I am wound up. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God is so good. Woo, you got some fire on you? My body's trembling right now from the glory. Hallelujah. 1 Kings 3:5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept him, for him this great kindness, that you have given him a son to sit on the throne today. And now, O Lord my God, you have made me thy servant king instead of David my father, but I'm just a child and I don't know how to come in or go out. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, so judge this, thy so great a people? Man, that King James is tough, isn't it? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked the thing. So he's asking for wisdom. He's asking for, we'll talk about it in a minute. God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and you have not asked for long life, you haven't asked for riches, you haven't asked for your enemies to be killed, but you've asked for understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither shall any arise unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked for, riches and honor. So there shall be not any among the kings like unto thee all thy days," or until today. No one's ever been like Solomon, ever, ever. God asked Solomon what he wanted. Solomon asked for an understanding heart so he could discern what was good and what was bad. And today I want to continue talking about what is good. What is good? So once again, what does good mean? Now, as Ronnie was saying, the Hebrew word is tov. And we always say that good means it's the very best. Can't get any better. When you're looking for the true meaning of any English word that's written in the Bible, you have to go back and do some studying. And for the Old Testament, you have to look at Hebrew. And in the New Testament, you have to look at Aramaic and Greek to find out what these words are saying. English is so binding. I mean, almost all other languages can express way. Spanish expresses way better than English. So it limits us. And Hebrew, of course, being a language that, I mean, right down to the letter, there are pictures. We can get so much from it. And so when we go deeper into the word tov, we get this: something that fulfills the purpose for which it was created. So something that is good fulfills the purpose for which it was created. If it's good, if the fig tree produces some fruit that's got some seed in it, it's good. Yeah. If God makes a plan through you and it produces fruit in its season, then seed for the next, then it's good. So if your life on earth fulfills what you've been called to do, you had a good life. It wasn't because you got to do everything you wanted to do, go everywhere you wanted to go, although that's part of it. You get to do that, but the main part is that you did the plan. Yeah. Amen. If I could say this to you, I'm listening to Pastor Nancy Dufresne, and it would behoove you to listen to her. She understands deep things, and she articulates very well. And she said this. She said, when my husband left, the plan didn't leave. Come on. Just because someone leaves doesn't mean the plan changes. No. If things go on, life goes on. We have all had loved ones that have gone to heaven, and guess what? We woke up the next day. There were things to deal with, and I'm not going to go into grief and stuff, but I'm just telling you that the plan needs to continue, and we need to keep our thoughts on that. That whatever happens, whoever comes, whoever goes, whoever comes to the church, whoever leaves the church, whoever's not here, the plan still goes on. Amen. The plan still goes on in your life. Whatever plan God had. So important to know, because you have to fulfill the purpose. Amen. So, it's in a good life because you got your way. It was a good life because you fulfilled the plan. It's a good life if you answer the call and you fulfill the destiny and then you fulfill the purpose for which you were created. If you sell something, do you do it to just make a profit? We talked about the real estate people. There are several families here who are in real estate, and the ones I know and I'm in relationship with don't just sell people houses to make a buck. They put people in homes that is right for them. And in fact, I was talking to one of them, and they said, you know, there's been times when we had to back out because we knew that person did not belong in that home. Now, that's integrity, and that's what we would call good. Hey, do you know the scripture that says a good man leaves an inheritance to himself? No, it says a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, meaning we have a legacy, we have a heritage, we have something we have to pass on. Church, in this church, we're not just willing to say, well, Victory Church was really good, it ran its course, Pastor Rox is going to be 80 in about 25 years, so I guess it'll be over then. No, it's going to pass on to the next person. And then the next person, and because we're going to raise our children with a legacy.
Right.
We're going to raise our children, which they're already doing great, knowing what needs to be fulfilled.
Right.
I like the person who said, we need a 100-year plan. Yeah. Like, oh, Pastor, Jesus is coming. Well, that doesn't mean we should stop planning.
Right.
We need to have a plan, and the plan is to press toward the mark of the high calling.
Right.
And as we're pressing toward that mark, our children get sucked into it.
Yeah.
Hey, let me tell you something about your kids and your grandchildren. It's too late for them.
Yeah.
They're in. They're marked. They're coming in. Never give up on that. Now, it fulfills the purpose. A worker who works to get a quality job done instead of just a paycheck then would be a good worker. Right? Are y'all here? Do y'all want me just to preach things that won't step on your toes today? Would that make you feel better if we just said, just do something easy? If you feel like that, go on home, because when I'm stepping on your toes, I'm stepping on my toes. You understand that, don't you? Sometimes when I'm preaching, I go, ooh. Amen. So, seed embedded in creation is good.
Wow.
Hey, somebody told me, Hector told me this, I'd forgotten this. Did you know when the sperm meets the egg, there's a flash of light? So what does that have to do with today? Nothing, I just wanted to tell you that. Tag that on last week. Okay, now, anything that produces life and contains the potential for life within it, God put seed in everything so that it would carry on. The peaches out on our tree have seeds in them, which will produce a tree, which will produce a peach, which produces a seed, which will, and so on and so on and so on. Peaches are good. Everybody's like, yeah. Now, so the realtor doesn't just make money. They put someone in a good home. We talked about that. A Timothy... most of you are kind of familiar with that because I talk about it. Paul's successor. Is that the right word? Yeah. You're not a success unless you have a successor.
True.
Timothy was his spiritual kid, right? Mm-hmm. So they weren't, it wasn't about, Timothy wasn't about, yeah, I'm going to get what I can out of Paul. And then I'm out of here. He give me a leg up. I'll be all right. I'll get in that place. I'll get my spot. That's not how Timothy's thoughts were. Timothy was like this. Whatever Paul's doing, I'm getting behind it. And I'm going to help with this. And in the meantime, I'm going to build a covenant relationship with this man. And whatever he says to do, I'm going to do it. Now, that's what mentorship looks like. It doesn't just look like, you know, I work for this boss and someday he'll give me the company just because I'm working on that. They, together, the Timothy with the mentor, the leader, the boss, they create something that would produce life. It's got to produce life. It's got to be about producing life, and it contains the potential to move forward. That's what you would want to create with your boss. Something that would make him look good.
Yeah.
Something that when you know, Timothy was in Ephesus. He was given the largest local church. Thousands of people. And he gets a letter from Paul. And it said, I need you to come to me right now. And he didn't write back and say, Paul, I'm sorry. I've got all these people. You wouldn't believe it. No, he went. That's relationship. That's good. Because once you learn that, you learn following Holy Spirit. There's strength in spiritual leadership. There's strength in all leadership. Yeah, well, you pastor, you know, I have a bad boss. Yeah, but you've got God. And so if they are a bad boss, God can work through that as long as you flow and do what the boss says. It's not your business. It's the boss's. So you don't have to worry about that. You just need to watch your character. Amen. Okay, I know y'all get that. But, you know, we talk about this from time to time because we want legacy. We want heritage. We want something good. So what happens here is Solomon wanted an understanding heart. So what did the word say about an understanding heart? Lord, did you want me to back up about something? I got a pause right there. Thank you for it, Lord. What are you going to do there? Okay, so, church, we're talking about wisdom. What to do with what you know. So what's good and what's bad would be great wisdom. Because if you'll do what's good, it will bring you the success you're looking for. You're like, yeah, but it might cheat me out a couple of jobs. No, it might get you a whole lot more. Amen. So I just submit to you, if you want understanding or wisdom, this is what you have to get. This is what the Hebrew called it, a hearing heart. A hearing heart. You're going to have to hear God in your spirit. Amen. And so now remember, we're talking about judging between good and evil. So you have to have a hearing heart. So somebody's going to tell you something. So if you're going to discern between good and what is not good, that hearing heart is there. Your spirit picks it up. You see what God wants. You see what God says. Now, you could say, well, that should be easy, yet I'm going to tell you it's not always the case. You would be so surprised, especially some of you veterans in the Word, you would be so surprised what people do not know. There's things that people think are good and they're bad.
Right.
Now, in this world we're living right in today, you could see that real clearly. People are calling things that are dark good and good dark.
Yeah.
right there on the news. So we get that. But you would actually be surprised at what people don't realize about what is good. And so some of it you have to catch, and then some of it you have to learn. And what we know is God's will is His word, right? His word is His will, so it's what God wants. And so, but even in that, you have to discern and dig and make sure you're getting the truth out of the word and not just some traditional saying and saying, well, that's the truth. You're going to have to go in and find out what was really going on and what's really being said, because King James was a chauvinist. And he would cut your head off if you didn't write it the way he wanted it. I'm just being frank here. And so you need to go back and dig around and see what the word said and not just be loose about it and just, well, you know, it said this. Well, you need to learn to become a student of the word. Now, faith or believing requires hearing, not just with your ears, right? Am I right? It can't just be intellect. Walk with me. You guys know this stuff, but I'm trying to mix this in with what's good. So in dealing with the heart, Jesus put forth the parable that heart was good ground. There was a heart that was good ground, right? Y'all know the parable, Mark 4? Okay. So good ground requires some work. So if you say, I'm good ground, is there a problem? Okay. I'm good ground. So it would produce life and more seed for future life. So you need a good heart or good ground to produce and to discern what is right. So we have to receive that through the Spirit. Now, y'all know 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It says, eye hath not seen, ear has not heard, hadn't entered to the heart of man what God has prepared for those that love Him. Right? Yeah. It says that you get that from the deep things of God. You get that from the Spirit. So for you to get something from the Spirit, you have to have a hearing heart. You have to have a receiver. So, that's that dimension stuff we're talking about. You gotta get, we say it this simple. Christianese. Get in the Spirit. That's what we say. Get in the Spirit. But what we're saying is tune in to God. The other night I was talking to you about being able to follow directions. And I made this statement. I said I wanted my staff and those in the helps ministry to only do what I ask them to do and not what they thought seemed good. Don't add anything to it. Don't edit my title and stuff like that. And boy, some of y'all know that so well. And you know, we've talked about it before. In that, someone might say, Pastor's just stifling our creativity. But that's not true. If anything, I'm trying to get you to the place where you're more creative. Because if you can submit to a leader, if you can submit to a boss, and you can do it that way, then you're going to be trained to hear the Holy Spirit. And you're trained all the time to be listening. Okay. Say somebody that worked for me, I can't remember who it was, called me boss all the time. And they'd say, okay, boss. Okay, boss. And they would just do what, you know, this is the plan. And by the way, I've had good staff people. They are, yeah, we know what she wants. We're going to do it this way. Many times Danny will say, well, for our house, this is what we do. Because she gets the point of where we're going. In other words, she may have a couple of other ideas, but she knows that we're going to go what Holy Spirit put on my heart. Right. And such, and many of you are the same way. So, but what I would hope, church, having said that to you, is that you would trust that I am listening to the Holy Spirit. Right. that I am calling things that I feel like need to be called. So I'm wanting to pass on what he wants and be led on what he wants to do. So, but if I do miss it, that would be between me and him. If the company you work for fails, it's not going to, you may have had something to do with that. Hopefully not. But if you did what the boss wanted you to do, it'll be on them. But I'm believing if you work there, it won't fail.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. But you understand what I'm saying. So, and for those of you who went home and were tempted to talk about me Wednesday night, I'm just going to tell you, I am not on a power trip.
No.
And those close enough to me know that I'm not on a power trip.
Amen.
Here's what you need to understand. I love you. I'm not going to blame you for anything. Whether you're submissive to God's plan or the Holy Spirit or what God puts through me, I'll still love you whether you are or not.
There you go.
But if you're not, I just move on.
True.
Cause I'm not paying you a paycheck. This is all about you working for Jesus. It's not volunteers. This is a helps ministry. But if you're a volunteer here and you can't fulfill the job because you want to do it your way, I'll just move on. But I'll still love you. You'll see, Bill, be a great part of everything we're doing. But I just won't want you to do. We'll do what we used to say at the daycare. Redirect. Redirect. Put them somewhere else so they know, so that maybe they can flourish somewhere else. But if you're in the orchestra and you're playing the cymbals and you keep playing them at the wrong place, bam, bam, I don't have time to get down and play them. So where we will celebrate noble failure, because you tried, we'll celebrate you for that, but we're going to move on. So that's how I have to live in my life. Those of you that know me well enough, if you make certain decisions, then I have to make certain decisions. But it doesn't make our love any less. I just want to tell you that today so that you understand that I'm not like, well, they won't do what I want them to do. No, can I be just real frank with you? I'm going to get what God wants to do. So I'll move on. Okay, now. How to have a hearing heart. And if you don't understand anything I just said, when you get a hearing heart, you'll get it.
Amen.
Da-dun-tsh. Okay. Now, it's true, we need perception. And perception is it's a big thing. And in fact, I've been writing a book about it now for about 7 years. I need to finish it. I do have three or four chapters written on it. But we need perception. We need to be able to perceive. We need to understand. David perceived he was king. You hit on that when you were preaching a little while ago. He perceived he was king. He knew who he was. So there's perception. Okay, there's just perception. I don't want to stay there. I want to go to something just a little bit, maybe even more simpler right now. If you're going to hear something, you have to have something that hears. Duh. Right? You do. You have a spirit man. And then most of you, if you're born again, you have Holy Spirit in you. Right? So you do have the hearing mechanism. So it's not something, it's someone. Holy Spirit is a person. You're the house. Holy Spirit's broadband. Okay? Now you say, why do you use that? Well, let me give you the scripture that makes me kind of think that way. It's just the way my mind thinks. But John 16:13 says, he will guide you in all truth. He will declare, disclose, and transmit. He's going to get it to you. He's transmitting to you. Holy Spirit talks all the time. All the time he's talking. He wants you to know all the time. All the time. When you get a hearing heart, Yeah, thank you, Lord, for reminding me of that. He'll get it across to you. He'll find a way. He will, so it said he will guide, he will declare, he will transmit. So he'll declare, that means he will speak out and affirm something. He will disclose, he will reveal or unveil something. So he'll uncover something for you. Okay? And he will transmit or he will broadcast or pass on what you need to know. He's going to let you know what you need to know. He'll tell you what's going to happen. He'll also give you possibilities and probabilities. He'll say, depending on the way so-and-so ends up acting, this is what you're going to be dealing with. I've had that recently. Depending on the call they make is going to depend on the call you're going to have to make. And he'll tell you that. Can I say this to you? What comes out in the preaching has everything to do with who came to church. It's very true. When certain people flow through or don't flow through, different things happen. Today, the hungry are here. Today, they don't care. The ones that don't care if their toes get stepped on are here. Praise the Lord. So he will declare, disclose, and transmit all truth. So what's that going to include? What does that look like if he's going to transmit, if he's going to disclose, if he's going to declare? What is that? Strategies, ideas, wisdoms, concepts, insights, inventions, information, revelation, and wisdom, and what is good?
Yeah.
What's good? What's good for the family? What's good for the church? Those words are my job title. What's good for the church? That's my job title. People will come in, particularly new people usually will come in and say, well, I would like to bring my such and such and put it in the church. And I have to say, well, if I let you do that, there's 169 other people who I would have to let them bring in what they have. So I can't do that. What's good for everybody? Well, I want to do my business. I want to go around and ask everybody to be in my business. Well, if we did that, we would turn into the money changers. So we don't do that because it's not good for everyone. Plus, you realize there are sheep in this house and they have a tendency to follow strong voices. And sometimes they'll do things they would not have gotten involved in had they not been pushed to it. You understand what I'm saying? So you want to be mindful, always be mindful. I'm not saying that's happening here, but that is something that I would have to look after. I think we're all pretty good about that. We're not trying to sell our goods and all that kind of thing. We do pretty well. He's going to show you things to come if you'll listen. He'll show you things to come. You need to be aware of that. One of the ways is prophetic. In the prophetic, things to come. And he'll offer you things. If you'll do this, you'll see your way through on that. He'll tell you. Now, this is coming. If you do this, this will be. I'm telling you that you can serve God and fulfill his word by allowing the Holy Spirit in your spirit to communicate with you. My sheep hear my voice, and they don't follow the parking lot prophet. Well, Pastor, I don't think he's really talking to me. I don't think I'm hearing him. Well, I can't hear an answer. I'm not discerning. I'm confused. I don't get it. Well, remember what I said to you Wednesday night. Noise. So I want to make this, if you don't get anything else out of anything today, just hear what I'm about to say in two sentences. The challenge of our faith is not our inability to hear God's voice. The challenge of our faith is our willingness to hear other voices. You're listening to other things. You're listening to noise. You're listening to tradition. You're listening to worry. You're listening to being offended. You're listening to jealousy, whatever it may be, fear, hate, offense, your business that you're running. That could be too much noise. Even your own aspirations and your talents could get in the way of what God wants to do. Well, I'm really good at this, and I've been doing it for years, and I've been the best. Look at all my trophies. I've been doing this for years. I'm really good at this. Yeah, but this is now. And if the creek dried up and God's calling you to move on to something, you need to be willing to hear it. You need to understand that it doesn't mean you're not going to use those giftings, but it could mean that you're going to have to go into another realm of what you're doing. I wouldn't be here today if that hadn't happened to me. We had a business. We did several businesses, and all of a sudden one day the flow stopped, and we just knew this is over. We had it for 13 years, and it was good. But that ended up pushing us on into getting on church staffs and so on and so on and so on. So you have to be aware of these things. I hope I'm just helping you with everyday life here. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." Man, when you were prophesying about God doing things and there was a shift now, this scripture kept coming to me. I will be exalted above the heathen. I'll be exalted above all the lies, all the injustice, all of it. I will be exalted. Be still and know that I am God. Now, this is not just get quiet and start worrying. Get quiet and think about what you're going to say to that person that offended you. Get quiet and think about what you're going to talk to your husband about, how a pastor made you mad. But I'm innocent. Stop it. Pull those toes in. Now, but listen to this. Step out of the traffic. Step out of the noise. Take a long look. Loving look at God. Your high God who is above politics. He's above everything. He's above the situation. He's above the problem your kid's in. He's above the pain. He's above it all. He's above every offense you've ever had. He's bigger. He's better. He's higher. Yep. He's a loving God, and he'll get you through and get you out.
Yep. Amen. That's right.
But you have to step out of that traffic so you can hear. Understand, he's a fountain of power, church. He's a fountain of wisdom. He's justice. He's goodness. He's truth. So change your focus. Do you want to hear? Do you want to hear and understand what is good? I had an opening, in my spirit lately, and God has said these little things to me that have changed my life in bigger, much bigger ways. And I'm really grateful for that. I'm listening a whole lot better. You want me to tell you one?
Yeah.
This is real simple. So we walked 60 miles in Europe, and the four of us were hoofing it because we want to see everything we want to see. But I noticed that sweating and heat, and about the third or fourth day, I started talking kind of funny. Someone, I think Deb went, and I was like, because I'm taking my vitamins, I'm good. And so a little post-nasal stuff, and I was like, no. And so, you know how that goes. Well, back at Thanksgiving, y'all remember I was attacked with Remember that? And over the years, any time I've had to deal with laryngitis, it's very threatening to me because that's my job. I got to talk. And I was handling it the wrong way. You understand? I'm like, no. You know, a little worry in there, a little, you know what I'm saying. I'm just being candid with y'all. So I'm walking down the cobblestone streets going, and I discovered a way, and I won't tell y'all about it, but I do have a way where all the nasal stuff goes away real quick because I have a product that I use. It's just saline, but it's a tool that gets the pressure off and knocks it all out. So I do that. But then what do you do about that? You know, I'm just talking flesh here. So I'm walking down the street and the Lord said, "Hey, that stuff in your throat can go away as easy as it does in your nose." I went, "Oh yeah." Now that sounds real simple to y'all. You're like, "Pastor, no, that's something that has come up with me a lot." And did you know that I went, "Yeah, in the name of Jesus, I cleared my throat and it left." Now you're like, "Well, no, it changed my thinking." I went, "Well, that can go away as easy as that does. That can go away." Those situations, when God heals you in a place in your body, believe that the anointing stays there. Amen. So if there's ever a reoccurrence, you can say, "Can't touch this." Boom, 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 boom. You can't touch this. The anointing's right there. I wish I could do the dance he did. You can't touch this. Yet the anointing's there. You can't get back in there. You're not getting in there. And so it just kind of, just that little thing. And then now I'm getting skilled on not thinking about all of y'all's problems. Because, you know, I'll get in there and go, "How can I help? What can I do? I'll start doing like that." And so I'm getting skilled at leaving that to God and just praying for you. Okay. And so, early this morning, the Lord said, "This is such and such, because I'd put it, I'm not going to think about it." And it was so simple. I went, "Oh yeah, okay." And it just flew out. Am I helping you?
Yeah.
Don't get rid of the noise. What are we going to do? How are we going to make any money? How are we going to pay the bills? What's next? How are we going to get that contractor to do what we need him to do? God,
amen.
Why worry?
Amen.
Just say what you want. These are my toes too. I've got to do this. So here's something cool. Be still and know. Listen to this. Drop your weapons. Drop your weapons. Drop your weapons. Stop, rest, and become aware. Become aware. It's just what we have to do. We have to become aware. The Lord's reminded me of something, and I wanted to say it to you. I felt like I skipped it, but we become aware of what is good and what isn't. Solomon said, "I know what I'll do. I'll tell him I'll cut that baby in half because the real mama won't let it happen."
Right, exactly.
Because he found out what was good. The real mama said, "No, baby, live." That's some smart, what is good. What's good and what isn't?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Lord. I'll talk about that. Just before we start closing here on this portion of the service, a couple of things. Drop your weapons. Start worshiping. Get still. Get the noise out. You're going to start hearing, and you're going to hear God. In just a minute, I want to give you a package, but I want to talk just a little bit more. I want to say some things to you that may be a little bit of a surprise to some people. Remember that I told you when we started that there are people who don't even know things that are bad. They don't know what's not good. I'm going to tell you something shocking right now. We had some people come to the church years ago. Y'all don't even know them. They're long gone. And one of the teenagers came one day, finally, after coming to the church for a while, and said, I didn't know it was a sin to have sex before marriage. Yeah, see, you're going, what? But you've been reading the Bible a long time, right? But people that just come in and don't read the Bible, they don't know that that's called fornication. And then there's something called adultery, right? But you know that, and it's sin. So, oh no, we're going to talk about sin. Okay, look, you're the righteousness of God. You're forgiven. You have grace. Everything's okay, but you still need to know what sin is so you can make right decisions. If you mess up, then you'll know you messed up. But if you didn't know that adultery's a sin, you might start looking at somebody's wife around here. And I'm going to tell you what Jesus said. He said, but I say to you that whoever looks at a woman and starts thinking about her that way has committed adultery. When a man just gets sweet on somebody else, or when they view pornography, that's adultery. Look straight ahead. I'm just helping. It's just the truth. It's when you're lusting after something else, lust is not just sexual either.
No.
Jesus said, get out of it, run from it.
Yeah.
It's true. Y'all are quiet. I'm just trying to help you with to let you know how people think. What is good and what isn't? Is it good to lie? No. Is it good to cheat? No. Well, there's cheating situations. No! There's no cheating situation. It's not going to be what we call good. Good is when you make decisions that give good outcomes. A bad decision is to quit the church because one little thing, Sister Susie bumps you or something.
Yeah, right?
Right? You're going to get bumped. Well, I need to go to a church where people are perfect. Well, you're not going to because you're here, right? Well, I need people to love me. Well, love them. Because if you love somebody, they're going to love you back.
That is right.
They will. They'll start loving you. You just have to well, nobody's friendly over there. We can't say that here. We have to try to make y'all sit down, you know. But maybe you're hiding in the corner. I'm preaching really good right now. This is good. This is everyday Bible.
Yes, it is.
And listen, church. Say, well, I'm at a faith church. I'm at a spirit-filled church. I want to know about faith. I want to know how to get some money. I need to get some money. I need to pay my bills. Show me how to do that. I need some faith. Church, God is not a one-armed bandit. It's not putting some money in and there's your seed and you pull the trigger and you get a harvest. I'm leading up to something here. Seed produces a harvest when it's in good ground. When I came into the Word of Faith, I was already a Christian, but when I came into the Word of Faith, and I was a little loose, you know, because I've been unchurched. I was unchurched at the time because same old story of everybody else, you know, you just get away. But when I came in, I immediately learned the faith message, but I didn't immediately cash out. Can I just say it like that? You know, I didn't. I had to learn some care. I had to get some character and get some, and be able to be the person that could handle some things before things happened, right? Some people, my mama would say that, you think that money's going to burn a hole in your pocket? Y'all remember anybody? Yeah. Anybody? Yeah. That money's going to burn a hole in your pocket. Meaning that as soon as you get some money, you got to, a lot of times when people have never had any money, they immediately just start, it's out the dough. It's out there just spending it because we never had anything before. Well, that might be good for a very short season, but not, you know, like maybe 2 days. But it's like I heard somebody say the other day, some of y'all could get $1 million tomorrow and some of you will head to the mall and the other persons will head to a financial planner. Right. Now, but the character, the word, finding out what is good will help you make the right decisions. And I'm not trying to take away your fun by saying that. Lord Jesus, have fun. Don't feel bad about spending money on it either. But do the other stuff. And the same thing when it comes to loving people. Know what is good for the other person. Not just, what about me? Do you love me? Can you do this for me? Me. What about what the other person needs? What about the other people? What they need? What about the church people? What do they need? Amen. Do y'all like this okay? You know, we really have to get down to the bottom line here. So here we'll go through this real quick. Here is the way to hear God. Number one, through the word. Mm-hmm. Number one, through the word. Compare it to the word. Well, Holy Spirit said, if Holy Spirit said it, the word will have it.
True.
Well, Pastor, the word doesn't tell me who to marry. It'll tell you who not to marry.
That's good.
Don't marry an unbeliever. And a list of other things. I believe I can win him. He's so cute. He's just a good looking man. I just know that if I just put a little effort in, I can change him. I'll just change him. He ain't changing nobody, honey. The word changes people. The word changes you. The word will change your life.
Amen.
Amen. Number two would be meditation. On what? The word. Number three, prayer. Pray. When you start praying, he'll start talking.
Yeah.
As long as you don't go in there and give God your list and leave. Now, God, look. I'm going to make you a deal. I'm going to go to church every... I promise you I'll go to church every Sunday. If you would just please don't let them repossess my car. Not such a good idea. That's not what he's into. How about just help? Lord. And then as you grow, once you say, you'll say, you know what? I believe I receive what is good. I receive the wisdom. I receive it. I'm going on Thursday to look at some inventory at my favorite car store, Lexus of Lakeway. And I'm going to go look at the inventory. But I will only do what is good.
Amen.
See, you make up your mind before you go. And you don't always just buy what you like at the moment. That looks so good on me. Does that make me look okay? Walk away for a little bit.
True.
And if it stays with you, go back and buy it. But it doesn't really fit. But if I think I can lose 40 pounds in 2 weeks. Miss Morgan, you know, that was her line. Number four, God can speak to you in an audible voice. He can. Leave that to him. Number five, angels. Leave that to God. Don't you go looking to talk to angels. God makes that choice, but they'll actually whisper. There are multiple times when angels whisper in preachers' ears and remind them of things to say. That's happened to me. How do I know? I don't. I just know Holy Spirit's telling somebody to tell me something, like go back and say that about what I said a while ago. He reminded me of that. Number six, prophets and prophecies. God will speak to you that way. Number seven, intimate fellowship. Talk to the Lord. That includes, intimate fellowship includes being obedient. Go, listen. Are you stifled? Are you stuck? Is there a jam log? Then go back and look, remind Holy Spirit, ask Him to remind you the last thing He asked you to do. The last thing He asked you to do. And go do it. And once He does it, you'll break through. You'll break through. Obedience is totally involved in intimacy with God. Number eight, worship. I've preached on that so many times in this house. Worship God in your house. You'll have a breakthrough. Number nine, stay filled with the Holy Spirit. He's the one that's talking to you. Now here's a list of noises. Worry, fatigue, bitterness, confusion, fear, hopelessness, unbelief, disobedience, unforgiveness, and grudge. You can't fellowship with God when you're in these. He can't hear you. He can't get to you. You're stopping Him. You can't hear Him. Stop holding a person in your mind for offense or worry. That person, I can't believe they do. God, you need to get or they don't love me. Clear it out. Put your weapons down. Get in the rest. Lord, what do you have? What do you want to say? Because I'm going to say what you say, and when I say what you say, we're going to move forward. I hope this helped somebody. You know, I want to say this to you just once again. People, and including all of us, we don't always automatically realize what is good and what isn't. Especially if you're young. Sometimes you have to help people. People are like, well, I don't know, Brother Copeland was casting the devil out of this one guy, and the guy reached up and popped him, and Brother Copeland knocked him back and tore the sheetrock out of the wall. He was young. So people need a little help. They need to understand what is good. You need to understand what's going on. Sometimes people are not going to totally get. Well, you know, that you're thinking about, that's not right. Oh. Amen. You have to discern. You have to hear. We have to help people here. Peter was on the Mount of Transfiguration. He wanted to build altars for Moses and Elijah and Jesus. He missed it, church. That's not what needed to be done. He needed to wake up. He was sleepy. He needed to wake up and hear. You can hear. If you'll put your thoughts to it, if you'll put your heart to it, you will hear the will of God. And it's not always going to come from what other people think. I probably get 25 emails a day from people who play the stock market. They have so much advice, and I just delete it, because I'm only listening to the Holy Spirit. Right. I do that, so I'm invested. But I just delete. Because I'm only going to do what God says to do. Because there's a lot of opinions out there. There's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of opinions of why people think this or that. You need to know what God thinks. Church, God set up a structure. He is a God of structure. And if you'll let me remind you of this, and you won't be offended, the local church is what everything should stem out of. The local church is where it is. You can ask our leaders. They're going to tell you the same thing. The meeting that we go to is hosted by local churches. It's not just, they're just not out there on their own. Local churches is the way God intended it to be. And He intended for certain things to be able to be delivered and put through, and for leaders to know their people and understand their people enough to know what to do. It's a dangerous thing for you to take the advice from just someone who just comes to the church.
Yep. Yeah.
It can send you off on a trail for years. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, they're minister, they're prophetic. It might be more pathetic than prophetic. You want to watch, you want to listen. And when it comes to your leader, compare what they say, which would be me. Compare what I say to the Word. You don't have to believe me. You don't have to obey me. You don't have to take my, compare it to the word. So how do we know what is good? We discern it. It's in here. He'll talk to us. We can know it. We can understand it. Amen.